Have you ever tried to read a company's financial filing? You know, one of those massive 300-page documents, and you just felt completely lost in the footnotes and the jargon.
Oh yeah. I mean, most people just drown in it. It's honestly overwhelming.
It really is. And well, back in the year 2000, thousands of incredibly smart Wall Street analysts read Enron's filings. They saw, what was it, $101 billion in revenue?
Yeah, 101 billion and nearly a billion in pure profit.
Right. And they told everyone to buy. But one investor looked at that exact same public document and realized it was a total fragile house of cards.
And the crazy part is he didn't even use insider information.
No, he didn't even read the actual words on the page, really. He read the shapes.
Yeah.
Which brings us to what we're unpacking today.
Exactly. We're doing a deep dive into chapter four of the AI Native Investor curriculum. The source is titled Reading a Company Patterns, Not Pages.
And the mission of this deep dive is basically to rescue you from drowning in all that financial data. We aren't going to try to turn you into a human calculator today.
Far from it. The goal is to show you how to let AI agents do all the heavy lifting, or the brute force reading, I mean, so you can be the strategist.
Right, because whether you're, deciding where to invest your retirement funds, or maybe evaluating a competitor, or even just trying to figure out if the company you work for is healthy, this framework gives you a massive shortcut.
It really does bypass all the corporate PR and gets you to the absolute truth. You look for patterns across three distinct financial lenses.
So let's start with how we actually get the data now.
Yeah.
Because the old way of doing this is pretty obsolete, right?
Yeah, I mean, Benjamin Graham, the legendary investor who mentored Warren Buffett, his advice to read the 10K is still totally correct.
The 10K being the big annual report every public company files.
Exactly. But how we read it has fundamentally changed. The old way meant sitting there for 8 straight hours with a highlighter, just going cover to cover.
Which sounds awful.
It is.
Yeah.
And the problem is human cognitive fatigue. You're reading every page, so by the time you hit like page 204,
You're completely zoned out.
right. And that's where the critical footnote about a massive pension liability is hiding. But it gets lost in the noise of 50 pages of boilerplate legal jargon.
So the new workflow is basically splitting the labor.
Yep. The AI agent ingests that entire 300-page document in seconds. It extracts 5 years of financials, calculates the ratios, and flags the big changes.
I sort of think about it like it's like using a drone to survey a massive, dense forest, right?
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, the drone, which is your AI, just zips over the canopy. It takes thousands of high-res photos in minutes and builds the map. But you, the human, you act as the ecologist.
Right, you're not the one taking the photos.
Exactly. You're just looking at the map to see if the forest is actually thriving or if it's, secretly drying up from the inside.
Because your bottleneck as a human isn't reading anymore. It's judgment. Your job is to look at the three financial statements the AI summarized and ask one key question.
Which is whether they tell a consistent story.
Exactly. Do they tell a unified story or do they contradict each other? Warren Buffett always says he reads financials to understand the business, not the accounting.
Because the accounting is just the medium.
Right. And that contradiction, when the statements don't line up, that's where the real investment question lives.
Okay, let's unpack this by looking through that first lens, the income statement. The drone comes back with the data, and we want to see the basic structure of the business.
Right, what it actually does and how efficiently it operates. But there's a major trap here that most people fall into.
Yeah, they just scroll right to the bottom line, don't they? The net profit.
They do, and net profit tells you almost nothing about the structural integrity of the business. The real shapes are in the margins and the revenue composition.
So walk me through the first shape, gross margin.
It's simple. You take total revenue and subtract the direct costs of making the product. That percentage is a massive indicator of a company's competitive moat.
Got it. So if a company has, say, a 70% gross margin, like Apple or Visa or a pharma company with strict patents, they have immense pricing power.
Exactly. They make it for cheap and sell it for a lot because the customer really doesn't have an alternative.
But if they have a 15% margin, they're just selling a commodity.
Right. It's easily substituted. The second they try to raise prices, the customer just walks across the street. And the trend of that margin is even more important.
Extending is good, compressing is bad.
Exactly. If it's expanding over 5 years, they're gaining pricing power. If it's compressing, competition or raw material costs are just eating them alive.
Okay, and what about revenue composition?
Well, the AI will show you if 80% of the revenue is recurring subscriptions versus one-off projects. Those are fundamentally different businesses.
And customer concentration, right? That's a huge one.
Oh, absolutely. If the AI flags that one customer makes up 25% of the revenue, that's an existential risk. You don't control your destiny. That one client does.
Wow. Okay. So moving down the income statement, we hit the operating margin. This is where we see corporate discipline, right?
Yep. You start with that gross margin, but then you subtract all the other costs, the sales team, executive salaries, R&D.
So if a company has that brilliant 70% gross margin, but only a 15% operating margin, where's all the money going?
Exactly. That's the mystery. Is it deliberate reinvestment in growth, or is it just structural bloat, like too many corporate jets?
Wait, I want to push back on something here, though. If a high gross margin is the ultimate sign of a moat, does a low gross margin automatically make it a bad business?
No, not at all. It doesn't mean it's doomed. It just means the margin for error is razor thin. And that leads us perfectly into the biggest blind spot of the income statement.
The accrual accounting trap.
Yes. The income statement uses accrual accounting. That means a company records revenue the moment a sale is earned, regardless of whether cash has actually traded hands.
So they can ship a massive order of servers in December, record millions in revenue, and look incredibly rich on paper.
But they might give that client 90 days to actually pay the invoice. So for 3 months, their bank account is literally shrinking, even while they look wildly profitable.
That's wild. It's basically a theoretical fiction. They could be booking record profits while simultaneously going bankrupt.
Exactly. And that's why we have to move from efficiency to fragility. We have to look at the physical foundation.
Which brings us to lens number two, the balance sheet.
Right. And unlike the income statement, which covers a whole year, the balance sheet is just a snapshot. It's a photograph taken on one specific day.
Usually the last day of the quarter, showing what you own, what you owe, and what's left for shareholders.
Yep. And the primary thing we're looking at for fragility is the debt trajectory. $10 billion in debt isn't inherently worse than $1 billion.
It's all relative to the size of the company.
Exactly. What matters is the trend. If the AI shows debt steadily rising while earnings are flat, that's a major red flag. They're borrowing just to look healthy.
And there's also the timing of that debt, right? The source talks about the maturity wall.
Yeah, the maturity wall is crucial. If you have $5 billion due in 10 years, you're fine. If you have $5 billion due next year and we hit a credit crunch,
where banks just refuse to lend to anyone,
then you're fatal. Companies rarely pay off those massive loans with cash. They roll them over. If they can't roll it over, they die.
Even if the core business is fine.
Exactly. They just hit the wall at the worst possible time.
Okay, what about hidden liabilities? Because management loves to hide their mistakes on the balance sheet.
Oh, they do. You have to instruct the AI to look for operating leases, massive pension obligations that swing based on interest rates, and my personal favorite.
Goodwill. Goodwill. I always think of goodwill like buying a used car. Mm-hmm. Like, say you find a car worth 10 grand, but the owner refuses to sell for less than 20 grand because of some custom rims and emotional attachment.
Right. Right.
If you pay the 20 grand, that extra 10 grand is essentially goodwill. It's just the premium you overpaid.
That is exactly how it works in corporate finance. When a company buys another business for $1 billion, but its actual assets are only worth $500 million, that extra $500 million gets slapped on the balance sheet as goodwill.
So what does it mean if the AI flags that goodwill is like 40% of total assets?
It means the company is an empire builder. Management went on a spending spree, overpaid for acquisitions, and hasn't admitted to the shareholders yet that it was a waste of money.
But since the balance sheet is just a snapshot, isn't it easy for a company to just, I don't know, clean up its room right before the parents come home to take the picture?
Yes. That is a massive issue. It's literally called window dressing. They'll temporarily pay down short-term loans or delay paying suppliers right at the end of the quarter.
Just to make that one day look pristine.
Exactly. So the balance sheet can still be manipulated.
Which means if the income statement is a theoretical fiction and the balance sheet is a staged photograph, we need a reality check.
The absolute truth. Lens number three, the cash flow statement.
Right. Aswath Demedaran calls this the unvarnished reality. Because cash is much, much harder to manipulate than earnings.
You can fake accrual assumptions, but you can't fake cash clearing in a bank account. And the core pattern the AI needs to find here is the truth ratio.
The relationship between operating cash flow and net income.
Right. Operating cash flow is the hard cash generated from day-to-day business. Net income is that theoretical profit from lens one. You just divide operating cash flow by net income.
And what should that ratio be?
It should be 1.0 or higher. If you tell Wall Street you made $100 million in profit, your bank account should show at least $100 million in new operating cash.
Here's where it gets really interesting. You can literally look at one ratio to see if a company's profits are real or just an elaborate accounting illusion.
Yep. If net income consistently exceeds operating cash flow, that is a massive red signal. They are reporting profits they haven't actually collected.
And we also need to look at free cash flow, right?
Yeah, free cash flow is what's left after capital expenditures. Like, an airline might have strong operating cash, but negative free cash flow because they have to constantly buy billion-dollar jets just to maintain their routes.
Okay, to really prove how powerful these three lenses are, let's talk about the most famous corporate fraud in history, Enron.
Yes, the ultimate broken shape.
Because in 2000, their 10K was 308 pages long. And short seller Jim Chanos didn't have inside info. He just looked for these exact patterns.
Right. So lens one, the income statement. Revenue exploded to $101 billion. But operating margins were around 2%.
Which is crazy for an energy utility, right? They usually operate at, what, 15 to 20% margins?
Exactly. So the AI would flag that instantly. It proved Enron wasn't an infrastructure platform. It was just a fragile trading firm booking the gross value of trades as revenue.
Just to artificially inflate their size. So then Chanos moves to lens two.
Yeah.
The balance sheet.
And he sees debt rising. But the footnotes showed something worse. Enron was funding off-balance sheet special purpose entities, or SPEs.
Shell companies, basically.
Yeah, shell companies secretly controlled by Enron's own CFO. They were hiding their debt in these entities.
So the balance sheet was totally staged, which brings him to lens three, the smoking gun, the cash flow statement.
Enron reported $979 million in profit, but their operating cash flow was negative $90
million. Wow, so the truth ratio was completely broken.
Totally broken. Working capital was ballooning because they were booking revenue they were never actually going to collect.
It's the financial equivalent of someone paying their rent with credit cards every month while bragging to all their friends that they just got a huge raise.
That's exactly what it was. The shapes expose the illusion.
Okay, so Enron shows us a broken shape. But what if the numbers are wildly different and both companies are incredibly successful?
This is where we look at strategic shapes. The source compares Costco and Walmart, two giants in the same industry.
Right. So surface level, lens one. Walmart has a 24% gross margin. Costco has 13%. Walmart looks like it easily wins, right?
On the surface, yes. But Costco's low margin isn't a lack of pricing power. It's a deliberate, rigid constraint.
They have a rule, don't they? Max 14% markup on branded items and 15% on their Kirkland brand.
Exactly. And why do they do that? To drive membership value. They artificially suppress their margins to make the membership indispensable.
Which is where the real money is. They made, what, $4.8 billion in membership fees at a near 100% margin.
Bingo. And it gets even crazier when you look at inventory turn. Because prices are so low, Costco turns its entire inventory 12 times a year. Items sit for roughly 30 days.
Whereas Walmart turns its inventory maybe 8 or 9 times a year. Stuff sits for 40 to 45 days.
Right. And that speed creates a phenomenon called negative working capital. Costco collects the cash from the customer at the register in 30 days, but they negotiate with suppliers so they don't have to pay them for 60 days.
So Costco's weakness, their tiny profit margin, is actually the exact thing that builds an impenetrable moat.
Yes.
Because it forces their inventory to spin so fast, they get to hold the customer's cash for a whole month before paying the supplier. They get to play with supplier money. That's a massive aha moment.
It's effectively borrowing from suppliers at zero interest, generating cash with every single unit of growth. It's brilliant.
So we've seen fraud with Enron and retail mastery with Costco.
Right.
Let's apply this framework to the modern tech landscape because there's a very specific trap here.
Oh, absolutely. The stock-based compensation trap, or SBC. Tech companies use this heavily.
Paying employees in stock options instead of cash.
Exactly. Because it's non-cash, accounting rules let companies subtract it from earnings, but then add it right back to the cash flow statement.
So how does that skew the shapes?
Well, say a company reports $9 billion in operating cash flow. An AI agent might just blindly read that and say, wow, strong cash generation. But what if $4 billion of that was just SBC?
Then they didn't really generate that cash through the business. They generated it by diluting the shareholders.
Right. The cash came at the cost of massive dilution.
So when I'm using my AI agent to analyze a tech stock,
mm-hmm.
I literally just need to type adjust operating cash flow for stock-based compensation.
Yeah.
And that one prompt could save me from overvaluing the company.
Yes, exactly. You have to instruct the AI to find the economic reality, which in that case would be $5 billion, not $9 billion.
That's incredibly practical.
Yeah.
But there are limits to this whole AI and human framework, right? It can't catch everything.
No, it has blind spots. It's great for cross-sector comparisons, but generalists will miss industry-specific accounting. Like, if you analyze a bank, they don't have gross margins on products. They have net interest income.
Right, spread on loans.
Yeah, and it also misses cyclical peaks. If you look at a copper mining company right before a commodity crash, their financials will look perfectly healthy.
Until the price of copper drops and they go bankrupt.
Exactly. It also misses unfinancialized dynamics, like a new competitor stealing all your mindshare before it hits the balance sheet.
And I guess an AI agent reading public documents isn't going to replace a $24,000 Bloomberg terminal.
Definitely not. You won't get real-time institutional positioning or, you know, alternative data feeds like a hedge fund's buying satellite images of Walmart parking lots to predict earnings.
Right. But for most of us, we don't need satellite images. We just need to stop reading the pages and start reading the shapes.
That is the core lesson. The income statement shows the motion and efficiency. The balance sheet shows the structural foundation. And the cash flow statement tells the ultimate truth.
Use the AI for the extraction, but use your human judgment for the verification.
Exactly. Look for the contradictions.
So to wrap this up, the source material actually leaves us with a really provocative exercise. And I want you, the listener, to try this today.
It's a great exercise. Don't just think about abstract stocks in a portfolio. Think about the company you work for, or maybe your biggest competitor.
Right. Go find their last 10K filing. Feed it into your AI agent. Put their financials through these three lenses. Adjust for that stock-based compensation.
Check their truth ratio. And then ask yourself, which company's financial shape actually scares you more?
Yeah. What is the one specific risk that, if it materialized tomorrow, would completely break their balance sheet? Go run the prompt and find out.